In much of the country, public health officials are back on the lookout for the West Nile virus. That's the mosquito-borne disease that appeared unexpectedly in New York 2 years ago, killing thousands of birds, several horses, and 9 people. Nobody knows where this virus will pop up next, partly because the mosquitoes that carry it move in mysterious ways. NPR's John Nielsen talked with some prominent mosquito experts. His story begins in the insectary at the Harvard School of Public Health.
The insectary is a hot, muggy, closet-sized room with full-spectrum lights that simulate an overbearing day. On the shelf, clouds of mosquitoes buzz around in fine mesh cages. There's a hand in one of the cages. It's connected to Tony Kashevsky, a researcher at the School of Public Health.
I'm just trying to get them a blood meal so they can lay some eggs so we keep the colony going. So there's about 40 on there right now.
These are common house mosquitoes collected from a local graveyard. The scientific name is Culex pipiens, which translates, roughly, as small fly that looks at things in a secretive manner. West Nile investigators used to think that Culex pipiens never fed on human blood, but they were wrong.
In the lab, I found that if I just wait a minute, they'll start latching onto my hand, you know, when they find out that there are no birds available.
In North America, common house mosquitoes have turned out to be the key carriers of the dreaded West Nile virus. They are small and shy and generally dull-looking when you compare them to other mosquitoes, but Andrew Spielman, Kashevsky's boss, says they get the job done. Let's look closely at the hand in the cage, Spielman says. Right now, dozens of Culex pipiens are methodically probing it with tiny bundles of specialized stylets that can drill a hole, saw it wider, spit in anticoagulants, and suck blood almost all at once.
A very elegant arrangement, sort of like a blind nurse stabbing at random in your skin, hoping that she'll eventually hit a blood vessel.
These particular Culex mosquitoes do not carry the West Nile virus, and even if they did, Spielman says they wouldn't infect a young man like Kashevsky. But if Kashevsky were older, it could hurt a lot.
The symptoms would be a fever, a diffuse rash. Later there'd be extreme and generalized muscle weakness. And if things were terribly wrong, difficulty in breathing, leading toward death.
Officially, this virus has only killed 9 people in the United States. Spielman says your chance of catching it is 1 in several million at the most. But in other ways, Spielman says, this virus is historic.
Because it's changed urban life here in the Northeast. From 1999 on, we will always wonder whether that mosquito that we hear buzzing in our ears in the middle of the night is infected, whether her salivary glands are loaded.
Andrew Spielman's got a new book out called Mosquito, A Natural History of Our Most Persistent and Deadly Foe. He's traveled the world to study mosquitoes and the viruses they carry. He's also traveled the campus of the Harvard School of Public Health.
So this is about as urban a field site as you can possibly have. We're right in the middle of a tremendous amount of traffic, and it's a mosquito breeding site that I've published a bunch of papers on.
We're standing over a black metal grill on a street corner, a few hundred yards from Spielman's office. Below it, maybe 4 feet down, is a pool of filthy standing water. For the larvae of the house mosquito, this is nirvana, he says.
As opposed to other mosquitoes, these are adapted to really filthy water. Their air tubes have certain characteristics, and their eggs have other characteristics that are foul water adapted. There is, interestingly, there's a house sparrow going right in between us as we're standing here. The house sparrow is a marvelous source of food for these mosquitoes.
House sparrows are thought to be carriers of the West Nile virus. When a house mosquito moves their blood to a crow, or a horse, or a person, things can get ugly.
Just about a 5-minute walk from here was the epicenter of the outbreak last year, and large numbers of birds were found infected and dead, actually very near here.
Spielman says he'll show me what the Culex larvae looks like. Then he pauses while a colleague lowers a thimble-sized metal cup through the black metal grill.
We're dipping into the basin through the grid and have a sample of water that has absolutely no larvae in it.
He wishes they were always so hard to find. Unfortunately, in cities like Boston, house mosquito populations seem to be booming this year. If they keep booming, health officials may have to call in trucks and helicopters loaded with mild insecticides. Politically and scientifically, that won't be an easy call to make, which is partly why a colleague of Spielman's is now taking a Culex census in one of Boston's fanciest neighborhoods. On the drive over to Lexington, Paul Ryder stops to rush inside a beat-up storage garage on the outskirts of the Harvard campus. He calls it his brewery.
Okay, well, in these garbage bins here, we have simply a pound of hay in 40 gallons of water. Very simple recipe. And as you can see, it's nice and ripe.
House mosquitoes lay their eggs in water like this. If you leave it outside overnight in a shallow pan, which is exactly what Ryder does at dozens of different residential locations in the town of Lexington. When we finally get to this town, Ryder heads straight for a pan he keeps under the porch of a big yellow wooden house. He changed the water in this pan yesterday, and today it's loaded with tiny, black, silvery-looking things.
Let me just pick one up. You see, it's actually a mass of little cigar-shaped eggs, all standing vertically on the surface of the water. And there are probably about 150 eggs there.
Ryder starts fishing the egg rafts out and dropping them into little plastic vials. He says it's likely that his other pans will look just like this one does. If that keeps happening, populations of house mosquitoes will go way up around here soon. Paul Ryder is a mosquito expert with the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who's taken a sabbatical to study the habits of Culex mosquitoes with Andrew Spielman at Harvard. He wants to stress that so far this summer he's found no evidence of West Nile in the town of Lexington or anywhere else in Boston. But he still thinks people should search their yards for standing water once a week.
I do believe that when we're all gone from this planet, then the mosquitoes will still be in high heaven. But we can try and encourage people to limit the amount of this peridomestic breeding.
There are other kinds of mosquito that can carry the West Nile virus, but so far, in North America, the common house mosquito has been the pack horse. Scientists like Ryder and Spielman say they're learning a lot about the lifestyle of this creature, but they've got a long way to go. Then there's the virus itself. Ryder says it's possible that it won't do much damage this year, but that's no reason to relax.
Maybe, hopefully, in a few years' time we'll say, well, we were cautious and the story ended happily. But we really can't tell. I mean, this is a new virus, a new pathogen in a new environment.
So far this year, the West Nile virus has killed roughly 10 birds in Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, Maryland, and Florida. John Nielsen, NPR News, Boston, Massachusetts.